online with Ammer the Internet Guy. Stream it today on your favorite podcast platforms. This podcast focuses on entrepreneurs and business owners, helping them become more successful in conducting their business on the web without being stuck with technology, getting a headache, pulling their hairs out, or buying expensive software.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Online with Ammer, the Internet Guy. You know, as a business owner, I find it quite hard to get on top of social media, especially to get on top of social media for business. I find it quite intimidating because there are so many different social media networks, and especially now with the video-based content that comes from places like YouTube Shorts, Facebook. I forgot what it's called. The Facebook, is it Reels? Because it's Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and the likes of that. And it feels a little bit like overwhelming for a business owner who wants to be a content creator, who wants to be relevant, and who's aiming to kind of guide or teach his audience. I find it a little bit like too much, and I wasn't sure where to start. So here is where my guest can help all of us, Miss Tamara Thompson. And she is an expert in broadcasting your authority, and she's going to be giving us tips and tricks to content creation and dissemination to the different types of networks. And she's also going to give us the kind of the secret sauce on what can go viral and what will not. So without further ado, let's meet Tamara. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I have Tamara Thompson here. Say it to me again.
Yeah, you had it right. Tamara Thompson.
Tamara Thompson. And I heard that you're from Seattle originally.
Originally, yes. I was born and raised in Seattle, probably my first 35 plus years of life. Yes.
So you moved like last year.
Thank you. I actually moved to California for a couple years, and then I have been in Arizona for almost 5 years now.
So. Chasing the sun?
I actually like the sun better than the Seattle mist.
I'm in Vancouver, so yeah. So Seattle and Vancouver are kind of like twin cities with the weather.
Yeah, no, I've been to Vancouver quite often when I did live in Seattle, so it was just kind of a hop, skip, and a jump up there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We do the same thing. And I was reading some of the stuff that you've done before, and it looks like you're a film producer. I don't know if you're still a film producer, but...
That's in my past. It's part of my background and who I was. So in my early years, I actually, when YouTube first came out, was when I jumped into YouTube. And then I actually went back to film school in my late 20s because I wasn't really passionate about what I was doing currently at the time with a career in the fitness industry. And I always had a passion about video cameras. I jumped in and did funny videos with my dad's huge camcorder back in like the 1980s and 90s with the big VH tapes.
Yeah, it had the tape inside. Yeah.
Yeah, like it was like as big as my head, So I jumped into the YouTube space kind of early, and then I was like, well, this just seems kind of fun, but how do I turn this passion into a career? And so it was a hobby for a good, four or five years in my 20s. And then I decided to go back to school to create a career. And I went back to school for filmmaking, and I did a lot of cool things in that space. I was a video producer, editor, director, did all the roles, and I learned everything about filmmaking. And then I realized that I didn't really want to actually do the actual like essence of the tasks anymore. I was like, yeah. I was good at things, but I decided I actually want to build and scale a company. So it turned to a different essence to starting a production company. And so I had that for over 10 years. And then after that, basically we shifted to content marketing agency where we could actually help grow YouTube channels because I had films that I had directed that were picked up by IndieFlix, acquired by IndieFlix, and then pushed out. And then we had micro content go viral on YouTube years ago. And that's really what inspired me to teach other people, but also help other clients grow their YouTube channel. So video has always been there. So the video producer side was a part of my past, and now I'm an investor. I do more on strategy, and I speak at a lot of events at this point as more of the CEO founder of the company, with the focus of content marketing, but it's always been around video and YouTube and podcasts.
This is interesting because I do have, for example, a YouTube channel, but I never think about, I think about what content goes on there, but I never think about the channel itself. Like, I'm pretty sure that most entrepreneurs don't even look into the performance of their YouTube channel, and they treat it like another media outlet, they think about it in the essence of more people would see me, but they don't actually work to make more people see me. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, people have this like idea like, oh, I'm going to become a YouTuber or I'm going to have viral content, right? But if you do not have the strategy in place and actually do the market research and actually put the effort to actually optimize a channel and create content that people are actually searching for and actually want to watch, then your channel is not going to grow necessarily, right? You could have a hit, with YouTube Shorts right now. A lot of people are having that essence of virality, but YouTube opened that door for YouTube Shorts because they wanted to compete with TikTok, right?
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, let's bring people back over to YouTube, because if we start giving them more options for virality, which all of our clients, all of their channels have increased this year because of YouTube Shorts viewership. They're going up like tens of thousands of views, but you have to think of it also like the watch time's different because a short is under 60 seconds. And then when they, reward you over time for watch time hours, it's a little bit different when you're watching a 60 second clip. Like, that's not very much time in watch hours for YouTube. Yeah. So it's important to have a balance of long form content and the micro content pieces, YouTube Shorts, to be able to grow your channel effectively. Because if you're creating a snippet from something, and that's what our team and our company does, is we create those little snippets from longer form being podcasts, video podcasts, optimize the channel for that for a weekly show. So it doesn't put a lot of energy or time on people's, hands to create content. And we also provide the directions. So we're providing them the YouTube optimizable topics for their show. So the only thing that our clients are doing is pushing record. We're providing the direction and then also creating all the assets and optimizing the channels, but also paying attention to the micro content that's going out to different platforms, like repurposing that YouTube short to TikTok, to Instagram Reels, to other new platforms coming out like Clapper. There's a new platform called Clapper that's trying to actually compete with TikTok. So, it's about just being ahead of the wave, but paying attention to the market research. Even with TikTok, you can actually see what people are searching for. Same with YouTube. When you're intentional with what people are actually searching for on YouTube, you have more opportunity to actually take off with your viewership. So it's very important to be intentional with market research and keywords and topics. And, it's not like you're just throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping it sticks, I think a lot of people think that, but then people also get discouraged because if they don't see something take off, and YouTube's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to watch your YouTube channel over time. That's why we say, hey, we want to work with people several months. Like, don't say like, hey, can I work with you 30 days? We actually don't have options.
There's nothing. That. Yeah. Like, you won't see any difference in 30 days.
Exactly. You have to like see what the trends are, like what takes off. You can have a whole first 30 days of trying content and it might not even resonate yet. You might have not found, what your people are watching for. It's better to ask your audience, hey, what do you want to see more of first?
Yeah.
To just get started. Because if you're creating what they're asking for, then they're more, able to watch it. So
yeah. I personally find, in general, the amount of social media platforms and outlets that are out there, I find it intimidating, because it makes it even, and I'm a techie, so I'm not really I'm not scared of tech. I embrace it, I use it, and I still find it intimidating, because as a business owner, especially for solopreneurs and small businesses who are not yet into the seven figure and they don't have a big team, it feels like, how am I going to keep on top of all these? And at some point, it also feels like some of the social media platforms have become more of spam. Like, I stopped using LinkedIn. I still have an account. I log in once a year or something. Like, you know,
I feel your pain on that one. I was actually hired to be a LinkedIn instructor, and I created an entire LinkedIn course that they hired me for on content marketing. And like, I would get these messages, you know, and I think my biggest pet peeve on there is the people that take your email and then they strip it from LinkedIn and then they write you an email and then they put you in a sequence and you're like, unsubscribe. I was like, I did not, you know, I didn't ask for this information. Yeah. You know, my email is not there to spam me. And then of course the inbox, which I feel like people could genuinely reach out and start a conversation, at least one conversation message that doesn't have something with your free ebook in it.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you just start the conversation, you could potentially lead to that ebook. But, you know, when people like start the idea of leading with value and being a go-giver, you know, you can have a lot more, you know, opportunity of conversations. But if you try to do that and then still put an offer in there.
Yeah.
I was like, I think you missed the cause of like what it means to be a go-giver for those that may have not read Bob Berg's book. You know, it's always leading with value, but don't pitch right out of the gate, because most people on LinkedIn are doing this strategy that they believe they're providing value and then providing some sort of call to action directly on the first message, which it doesn't work. It doesn't work with me.
It's intruding.
It is. Like I've built very, very large, great connections with people of influence and other investors. I invest in a lot of companies at this point. And so when people don't reach out in a way that's kind and you're humble and, you know, you're providing some sort of value, like I'm going to ignore it, you know? And I think a lot of people just kind of get in these caught up. And like you said, sometimes people, when they're early entrepreneurs, they're just learning, right? They're not necessarily yes. like understanding what people mean to actually build a core relationship with someone. You know, it's, you must build relationships and be able to communicate in a way that isn't spammy or, you know, send a first
or message. Needy.
Yeah. You know, and I've built very strong connections with people, and I've spoken on stages with people like Marcus Lemonis from CNBC's The Prophet, you know, Lisa Nichols. I've spoken on stages with like Jillian Michaels, you know, all these different large influencers because I built relationships with people over time, and I've emailed in the kind ways and always put effort into value first, never pitched myself other than like, how can I serve you? And it would come into conversations, or people would see something or a video of me speaking or see me speak at an event, and then I was invited to speak somewhere else. And same with podcasts, same with, you know, other types of appearances. It's because those connections will start opening doors for you as well. It's really about your network that you're in as well. So, and again, people learn that over time. It's just LinkedIn is one of those platforms that I just barely am on myself. Like Instagram's like my favorite. Facebook.
I feel too old for Instagram.
Well, like with our team's company, the majority of our clients yeah. like have their favorite platform, right? But we've created a system that helps push content to all of it,
so all the platforms.
So they don't have to watch it. They don't have to be over there. But it's going out just in case somebody does find you, or when people are doing their research, it's good to be everywhere because it shows credibility. It shows consistency. Yeah. And people can see that, you know, they see that you're showing up basically on your platforms. If your platforms are crickets, I do my due diligence when I'm hiring maybe a mentor or a service, or, you know, whether I'm going to see if they're on social media first, you know, I'm going to look at their website, check them out, see what they're posting,
of course,
because I want to see that they're consistently providing value. Some people just are not on social media.
And are you aligned or not? Like, are they like, cause I feel, for example, sometimes people misunderstand the word hustle. They think hustle means hassle, not hustle.
Like, I'm not a like, fan of that word, like by any
I know
means. Like I you know,
we've got Gary Vee to blame.
Yeah, you know, people have been put into this, and I respect Gary. I've met him. I actually spoke at an event with him as well, and And I met him backstage, and he's a great guy. Like, he's just built this, you know, authority. He has his own personality. It's very strong. He puts his opinions out, and people just listen to his opinions at this point, you know.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't mean that I'm going to agree with every opinion, but, you know, he's built that following, and he shifts when it needs to. He gets into the markets that are new, you know, like NFTs, you know, all yeah. that stuff. You know, when you are able to shift and just take action and you're not afraid to do it, like, those people, like, there's so many people out there that are followers that are looking for leadership, you know, versus a lot of leadership out there. So it's interesting to see and watch, but yeah, I respect him truthfully on everything that he does. I might not agree with all of.
Yeah. I mean, it works for some. It doesn't work for everyone. That's what entrepreneurs need to understand as well. Every business owner has a personality. You got to have part of your personality in your business. It's not, you know, just follow this advice blindly and everything will be okay. I think we've touched on content marketing, and I feel that we need to give it a little bit of a focus now, because I also feel that many business owners are afraid of content creation, or they do have content in their heads or on their computers that has not been shared with anyone. So how can we encourage them to, you know, get into it? What can you say to them?
Yeah, I mean, well, there's a couple different things here that could be holding people back. Either maybe it's they have the excuse of time, you know. It could be an excuse of confidence, you know. It could be, you know, they could just say, like, you know, I'm going to do that next month or next year. Like, it's kind of like people just kind of put things off. I think if you have access to content so I actually just got off a call literally like 20 minutes ago with a new client, and we're starting with him with, he doesn't want to take the time to create new content, but he's got a load of all this content that can be repurposed, right? He's got access in his Thinkific course. He's got all this other old content. So we're going to be taking stuff that's still valid point today, and pull the best compelling, valuable educational tips from that content. So if people have access to things, it's just about getting started. It's just about finding out, like, how do I repurpose content there first? Like, that's the first step, is like, if you have content and you're just like, I just need to figure out how to get it going. You know, it's just about finding things to actually create that you have, like, is it valid? And you can basically take a transcription, and, you know, most people, like, it's time at that point, it's time to delegate something out, right? Like, you shouldn't, you know, as a leader or of your company or a business owner or freelancer or whatever you are, you know, you should be focusing on your zone of genius, and anything that pulls you away from that, like, you just delegate it. You know, if you feel like you don't have a budget yet, you start with like Fiverr or, you know, yes, Upwork or indeed, some sort of freelancer to help you. When people are at an established level of a company, a lot of people that, you know, multi-million dollar companies, they'll come work with our company because we have this very specific fluid system that we come in as like an entire hub. You know, it's like, boom, we're like representation. We are part of your team, right? We keep it very simplified. And so, like, when people have that opportunity to pass off that material, like, just pass it off so that you can actually create compelling snippets from your content to create your start of, you know, content marketing, you know. So it could be on the side of like confidence of just thinking of content, or, you know, just some people record content that just never goes out because they're like,
yes, exactly,
oh, I could do better. And I was like, no, that's a mindset thing, you know, like, it's just like we have to get out of our own way, right? Like, one of our clients, he just hit his, we did help his book launch book on Monday, and he hit the best-selling book in the service industry on Amazon in the first less than 24 hours. Wow. And that was super cool. But his book is all about showing up. Like, he talked about like his experiences, like, you show up, you know, all these things like that. And like, we created all these snippets to help his book launch, talking about different things about showing up and his experiences and stories. You know, and we just had basically a video producer go out to him for a couple hours in New York and just record little snippets. You know, not everybody has time or budget for that kind of stuff, but when you do, I mean, you don't even have to do that. You can record stuff with your smartphone, right?
Like, exactly. Like, they'll send you the script. Just say the script, which is less than a minute. send it, and you're done.
Exactly.
You and take I think the people, purpose it, and yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. So it's like, take your, you know, it's a confidence. Like, some people have the thought in their head, and this might be, yeah, I've had this with some female clients, right? So they will be like, well, I have to do my hair and makeup, right? That might be something, you know, I'm like, I'm just going to put my glasses on. I'm myself right now. Yeah. Maybe some days I put my contacts in. Sometimes I have makeup on. Sometimes I don't, you know, like, I'm just going to record content in the now, because sometimes, you know, it's just a thought or an inspiring thought or a tip or something. Like we signed up, for example, like ChatGPT on November 30th, the day it launched, right? So like, I created content around AI and ChatGPT in the very beginning, because I jumped on that trend, and
yeah,
I didn't have my makeup on that day. I was like, I'm just going to create content and, you know, learn this stuff and share it. Because, you know, if you feel like people, unless you're trying to attract a certain audience, but people should just enjoy your content based on the value you provide.
Actually, what many people don't realize, that even with YouTube, and I do this myself, I listen to the YouTube, I don't watch it. So I switch the phone screen off.
I know a lot of people that do that. That is, listen to YouTube in their car ride. Yeah. You know, it's like listening to a podcast.
Exactly. So it's kind of, it doesn't really matter what it looked like. They just want the content.
And if anybody does care about what you look like, that's their point. It's on them, and you just let it go, because you have naysayers on YouTube comments and trolls and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a point in life where, you know, you don't let people get to you. You know, you keep your mindset, you know, keep your head straight and stick to the positive, because most of the time there's more positive out there than the negatives. And so if people have that, you know, issue of, like, example, one of our clients, so she started her channel, YouTube channel, probably, gosh, a dozen years ago. So I've known her for many years. And she created this content and it went viral. It was very inspiring. It was very raw. And she did this whole makeup reveal, right? So she had like this compelling story, a lot of acne, like just completely, like she was a model, but she caked on makeup to basically, you know, cover up these acne and these scars and everything. And she was fairly young at the time, she's still young, but she was very young at the time. And her content took off, but she could not handle the naysayers of people saying ugly things to her. Mm. But when you went back to look at it, the majority was, you know, young women and girls coming and commenting, saying like, I'm so glad that you created this video because I have the same problem. And then she was asked to be on Good Morning America and all these shows, because all of a sudden she had 25 million views to this video, and that launched her YouTube career. But what happened was she stopped for 2 months because she was so afraid of the naysayers and not focusing on the positive. And so she got over that over the years, and she's very, very successful in the YouTube space at this point. And she's actually built her own, organic makeup line and other things like that to help provide for other women for their skin problems and things like that. And it was a very inspiring story. But when you have content to share, like, don't be afraid to put it out there, but like, don't disappear for 2 months either. That's my story. Sorry, you know, she does very well for herself, and she's a lot more confident at this point. But there's different things that you can tell to many people based on what that one thing is that's holding them back, basically.
And do you find sometimes when you're speaking with a new client that they do need a bit of coaching as well? Like, it's not, sometimes it's not like a cut clear service that they need. Sometimes they need to be coached into what they need.
You know, it's different for every client based on where they are. We work with a lot of successful individuals, influencers, CEOs, you know, a lot of these companies now. So these individuals that we primarily do work with, you know, they might ask a simple thing, but, you know, in their background, most of them have the confidence to record and they have a ton of content at this point.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
But they might like have some us for for is those that actually are recording new content. They love that we provide direction and market research for their podcast, but also for their short form content. So we give them the encouragement and say, hey, you need to put this on your calendar every month to record, 25 short videos. If it's with your cell phone or if it's with your assistant or with your videographer, they get into these routines. So the majority of our clients actually record shorts, like 60-second tips, and we give them the topics to talk about related to their industry. And then they just shoot it. They have their cell phone. So they're at the point in their business that they're taking the action to actually just do what we tell them to do, and they just do it. And then we crank out the content. So, but there has been scenarios where we have had to coach people through specific things, but it's usually either like a market research thing, maybe a technical thing, maybe what type of equipment to use if they want it to look like super professional for their podcasting studio or something like that. We just give them tips based on their brand and what what they want to appear as for their brand that comes across clean and professional and them, and so it's good for them to also provide those little cell phone clips too, because it's a mixture of the podcast content that's being repurposed versus something that's solo snippets that also relates to the content. So it spices it up more so that we're not just creating micro content shorts and snippets from a podcast, but that's primarily like where people come to us. And then they say, wow, like you guys just do it all. I was like, well, it got to the point where it evolved.
Yeah.
We became like a extension of teams.
A one-stop shop. Yeah.
And because we started with just podcasts and just podcast content, but we knew because of things becoming so competitive with TikTok and Reels and Shorts, it really allowed us to provide this additional support on things that they had coming up, like little teaser videos, shorts for their webinar, for their live event coming up, for a different offer, and then also helping up-level their experience of frequency of content going out, right? Because we started seeing people start taking off because all of a sudden they were doing like, because we do 3 shorts a day on certain packages, and people are like, whoa, yeah, 3 shorts a day. It's driving more views, which gets more suggested content. So there's certain platforms I say, yeah, totally do 3 times a day, where you might go over here and you might say, oh, geez, you just posted 3 times on Instagram, but you were doing better if you just did 1 reel a day, because it's taking time to push that traffic out. Like all of a sudden you see something go viral like the next morning because it pushed overnight.
Yeah.
So you have to pay attention to which platforms and how high the frequency is and what's actually engaging. Like over on LinkedIn, are you doing like polls or questions or engaging things versus like putting up a reel over there? It won't do as well because it's not the type of content that's going on LinkedIn. So it's about creating the content from that original piece, like the micro content, but what is it that actually needs to go on the different platforms? Yeah, we create all these cool reels and shorts and stuff like that, but there are other platforms that other things work better. So it's just paying attention. So
when we say that something will go viral, what I'm interested to know, what makes something go viral? Like, what, I don't know, is there like a specific composition of things that have to be in the video in order for it to go viral? Because I feel like sometimes if your intention is to have a viral video, it's not going to happen. It usually happens when you don't expect it.
It's true. Yeah. So my buddy, a good friend of mine, Sean Candle, he's got like his video recipe, he's a YouTuber and stuff, and he'll give you like the framework and stuff like that of what's going on. But with us, we see what's going on in the industry, what's trending. But when we do the market research, we also see like how competitive these videos are and if people are actually running ads to these types of keywords. So what we've seen is when something does take off, we pay attention to the ones that do better. And then we say, hey, let's double down and create more content of that, right? Because your audience has spoken, there's more views. The platform has us also spoken too. So at this point, like YouTube Shorts, I think the majority of people have the opportunity to go viral. TikTok the same way. If you jump on a trend and you're in that trend the first 3 days it's going, you have the ability to be found. So as long as you're paying attention to the trends, I think the virality aspect is easier. They're making it a little bit easier for things, but you also have to be creative and also pay attention to what your audience actually paid attention to, right? So one of our clients, we saw on the back end, like the five top things that people were searching for, because he's a mentor. He helps teach people how to buy and sell businesses, acquisitions, things like that. And so at the back end, the top two topics that are being searched are how to buy a business, buying a business as a keyword. Went over to TikTok, started to see like what people are searching for, keywords, buying a business. So turn around, put that content out there, put it in the podcast formula. He had a professional podcast studio recording for that particular one. And those professional looking ones do perform a little bit better. I've seen for podcasts when they have like the studio and the mic setup and the poppy captions for that, that those started trending, like the Hermosi style reels, stuff like that. And, so we saw it. We're like, oh, well, that one took off. That one in the first week had 43,000 views. Okay, great. We're going to create more content from that episode, little more snippets from that. The next video took off. The next video took off. And we've seen that happen a lot of the times because people start to follow and the subscribers go up.
Yeah.
Because
and
you're
they get the
you're
new one
putting
and then
more
the new, yeah.
of the ones that work. So once you find that at least one that works, first you kind of have to find that one thing that works. Right. And you find it on the channel and you test it on the other channels. And so his content we knew that was taken off on YouTube was that. And then we realized the same type of content, micro content, was taken off of TikTok. So we said, hey, let's create more of this. Right. And so then he started to take off. And so he has over 25,000 subscribers on YouTube now. And that's in less than a year, basically. So we had taken over his channel. And I think he had started with us at about 7 to 8,000 subscribers on YouTube. So it's double the subscriber base, but we found that formula and that sweet spot of what he wanted to teach that went with his, goals, values, and programs. And then we saw that it took off on TikTok. So that's what was happening. We've seen it also in all different industries. We had a client as well. She was working with us and I was really excited because she started with like nothing, like five subscribers on her YouTube. And she was like, we had a conversation a few years
ago. Were they the family members?
They were all the family members. She was like, it was like my mom, my grandma, my daughter, it was definitely family members. And so same scenario though, but it took 5 months for us to really figure that out, even though we started with her from scratch, but we knew because she had a very specific niche and her success story has been amazing. So five subscribers, no following, nothing. We encouraged her. We said, well, what's your topic and who are your competitors? She was like, I was like, who's out there doing what you want to do? Like your exact model, like, what do you want to do? She's her topics in ageism with Alzheimer's and dementia. So very specific niche. And when you have a very specific niche that people are searching for, that's great as well. And so after 5 months, we were testing out different topics. She had a content video that was like 10 warning signs to Alzheimer's. It took off. It got like 2.8 million views. And some of the comments were not needed. There were some of the naysayers making fun or whatever. And then the rest were actually informative stuff. And so her subscriber base started going. After that video, we said, create another video that's very similar. So she did another morning, like 10 signs, kind of continuation. That video took off, had over 500,000 views. So her subscriber base started going up. We started creating playlists on the warning signs of Alzheimer's. So we said, you need to create more content around Alzheimer's, not just ageism, not dementia.
Yeah.
It's going to be Alzheimer's.
Because that's what people are searching for now. Yeah.
The channel. And then she was able to build a very specific model that was very similar to her one competitor that she showed us. So we modeled it off this competitor and she was able to get more speaking engagements. She launched her own book. She ended up getting appearances at things. And then she also started getting sponsorships and partnerships. And for the last year and a half, she's been working with us for over 3.5 years, I believe now. But the last year and a half, she hasn't even paid for our services because they're covered by partnerships or grants. She's partnered with universities. We've taught her how to generate other money. And she also became a YouTube partner, and she's made over 15K just on that over the last 3 years. So YouTube's not the money maker. Like, people are like, oh, I want to become YouTube famous and make money. I'm like, that's not where you make money. It's the offers that people are led to after. So people have this misconception.
If you're the 7 year old who's, I can't even remember the guy who used to, I think, do the games, like unboxing games or whatever. Like, there was
test the toys, the toy testing and the unboxing. Yeah. If you get into it and you're cute, you know, you got the little kids, you know, people are following this stuff and their kids are following this stuff. And yeah, if once you find it and you take off, like, double down on that content. It's really like, that's really where it's at. Because we've seen people, we said, hey, this took off, create another video. Yeah. And that client might not listen to us because, you know, in their own head, they're like, well, I want to do this. I'm saying, we're telling you.
I want to talk
to
about something different, but oh, there's so much. This is one, I think, one famous example, and I'm a culprit of this as well. Thinking there's already so much content out there about the topic, so I don't want to add mine.
Oh, no way. Oh, come on. We all have a value to add. You can create the exact, you can create the exact same video as another video. So there's like a trick that we teach our clients, and I'll teach you all that are listening right now. So when there's a channel that you find and there's a video out there and you're like, I want to create this video, and you do the research and you see this video took off. And let's say it's on a channel that only has, it has less subscribers than the video you see that took off on their channel. So let's say, example, let's say there's a person that has 2000 subscribers and you see a video that you're searching for, like, I really want to create something on this topic, and you find it and you find this person's video. And let's say it has like 10,000 views. We're like, oh, great. So that's called a gateway video. It's basically pushing out more to a suggested audience, and it's surpassed your amount of subscribers. So it's reached more than your subscribers. And that's called a gateway video. Those videos are being searched and suggested more. So when you create an exact replica of that title, you don't have to necessarily teach everything or copy that person, but if you utilize that title and optimize it correctly and put your own spin on it, because you're like, oh, that's what I want to teach. Take that type of topic, because you have the ability to now start getting that suggestive content off of that title. And so people will start to take off, and it's just a trick on a gateway video. But it has to show that the views on the video are far exceed the amount of subscribers for that channel. And so it's a cool trick, but yeah, like, just create content, because someone might resonate with you more than they resonate with me, you know, vice versa. You know, people, you know, our energy, our mannerisms, our knowledge, the way we teach, you know, whatever that is, don't ever, you know, doubt that you know, are valuable. Because if you teach something that somebody's going to find you, and they're going to resonate with you, and then they're going to resonate with you, and then they want to work with you, right? So it's just it's a disservice to yourself by just not putting out content. You know, you could be discouraged if it doesn't get views or something, but don't be the person that's like, what if I put this out? Just put it out. And sometimes content takes off later in life. You're like,
yes,
why is this video taking off now?
You can put a video for it.
I have a video on my YouTube that still gets 250 views a day. That was created a few years ago, and it was all about Facebook rooms when it first launched. I'm like, this is like old stuff. People are still commenting, still asking questions. And in my head, I'm like, Facebook rooms are old. It's still like, people are still talking about it and still asking questions, and I still engage. We still comment back, and it's got, like, you know, it was optimized. It's got like almost 20,000 views, you know, it was created like a year ago, a year and a half ago, and it just still gets views. And so, like, you never know, like, videos will take off, old videos will continue to grow.
Absolutely. Like, I've got one of my old videos. I don't think it has like daily, like 250 daily views or whatever, but it was something that I did like early on, maybe 2015, 2016, and left it there, forgot about it. And then when I look at my channel, it has about 200,000 views. And I'm thinking, like, that content is old. Why are people watching that or whatever? Like,
yeah, so, it's just really like, you know, put yourself out there and trust in the process, you know, make sure it's optimized and don't get discouraged by when things don't take off. Like I said, like one of our clients, the one that took off, that's now doing well, it took her 5 months of consistency for YouTube to really recognize her and find something that took off. But she did it. She was consistent. She did what we said. We were testing different things. And yeah, YouTube definitely rewards over time. And, you know, a majority of people that start off from scratch, majority of people don't even reach the first 1,000 subscribers in real life. The first 18 months.
Yeah.
People are just like, oh, am I going to go viral? And I'm like, you could.
People
like,
will watch it, but they'll not subscribe. Yeah.
Yeah. We cannot determine that. Like I don't subscribe. Some of my friends and clients don't tend to subscribe to channels at this point. I know where to go to find something. So it's different these days. People aren't necessarily subscribing. And they just look up the content when they want to see it. So it's interesting, but it just kind of pay attention to things. But if you have value to share, just create it and share it and don't look back.
I love this. And I loved your tip earlier. I'm just going to say it again for people so that in case they didn't catch it the first time and to check my understanding. So search for the topic that you want to talk about. Find the video that has more views about that specific topic, and usually look if they have more views than the number of subscribers in that specific channel.
Correct. Yeah, it's a
copy gateway. The title, spin it, put your own spin on it so that it's not, of course, an exact copy, and exactly. Put your content out there and push it.
Yeah, it's all about doing the research and using the tools, and there's different research and tools out there that you can find and find keywords. I mean, obviously YouTube has things like TubeBuddy and vidIQ that can help you optimize your channel and give you suggested topics and keywords and different levels of how it can actually help optimize it for you. You know, there's different things that it will suggest. So it walks you through a process to actually optimize your videos on YouTube. And so, you know, it's great to have those resources and tools and softwares that can help as well. And then just be intentional with the content when you do see something take off, like double down and create more of that, or just keep repurposing more from that video for short form content as well. So, and put it in playlists, create a playlist that takes off with that content.
Yeah.
So, like with our client's channel, we put, you know, warning signs of Alzheimer's as basically a playlist. And then every content that goes under that goes there. And then you do the same thing on TikTok. You can actually create playlists on TikTok. When you get enough followers, they unlock different things like creating playlists. So we would, on her channel, we'd put warning signs of Alzheimer's on as a playlist. And then all the TikTok videos that are related to that.
Yeah, because in your playlist, you can have videos that are not yours.
Exactly.
You're not going to fill it with other videos, but it looks like you're doing your viewers a favor because you've curated that part for them. So they don't need to watch only you, but they can also watch other people in your playlist.
Yeah. Yeah. Typically we tell our clients to put their own videos for TikTok in their playlists, but on YouTube, you can put other people.
You can put some others. Yeah.
But typically what people do is put, if you have a video on somebody else's channel, you want to put their video on your
channel. Yeah.
So that like, it's still positioning you as the authority if you're on somebody else's podcast. So let's say you put this video podcast
on mine YouTube, and then you take it.
And I'm like, I'm going to take it over here and put it under my podcast appearances. So then we're both doing each other a service to, expose both of us to both, the audience.
Our viewers, our sets of viewers. Exactly. Yeah.
And so it's a great method to do. Just pay attention to your playlists.
Thank you, Tamara. Where do people find you? Arizona.
Other than Arizona. I love Instagram. My team manages most of my social at this point, but I do tend to respond myself in Instagram. It's Tamara Thompson Official. Apparently Tamara Thompson was just taken. So I had to do So officially official. On Tamara Thompson. So Tamara Thompson official on Instagram. My YouTube channel is Broadcast Your Authority. And to learn more about our company, you can go to broadcastyourauthority.com. We have some free resources on there on 7 ways on how to repurpose your podcast. That's a great downloadable free resource as well. Yeah, feel free to reach out. But I like Instagram. That's kind of my thing. And but I'm all over all the socials, TikTok, you name it. but most of my team runs those at this point. But like I said, people want to hang out where they want to hang out. And it's good to just be everywhere, even if you're not managing it.
Exactly. You should not be managing it.
You shouldn't be managing it. Yeah, I mean, it's so time consuming. Like,
people
can sit here and play on a cell phone for hours. I'm like, if I was over on TikTok myself, I'd be like, oh, I'd be like going back into that video producer role where I used to like edit like videos every day. And like, it was so time consuming. I was good at it. It was one of my strengths. But I was like, I don't edit anything anymore. I was like strategy, you know, content, positioning, and going out into different realms of speaking at this point, you know, masterminds, events, podcasts, like share the value content, lead them into learn about what the company does that can help. So super grateful to be able to build out a team managed company at this point. But yeah, I was like everybody else. I started off as a freelancer and was, you know, perfectionist.
Did everything yourself.
You know, at this point, I'm like, I don't have to do my hair and makeup for every video. I'm like, you know, I was a perfectionist.
You need a template but, for your hair and you know, makeup.
I know. Well, I have really thick hair and they always say it's like a horse's mane. And I'm like, it is really. After I realized delegation was like so key in the business to scale, like we ended up taking off, you know, and, you know, I have over 30 employees at this point and, you know, there's a lot of things going on as well. So now I focus more on investment. I've gotten into real estate investing and other things too, as well as, early stage startups. I've also helped people. And during COVID, I actually invested in 22 companies to try to help those that I saw the potential to keep going versus ones that
may
have been tanking. So it's like, I want to give back, but I also want to see, I could see the vision of these continuing as how I saw it. So there's a lot of things that I value at this point in life and business. And, you know, that's the direction you want to go for your own self. Like you have to get out of your own way. You have to delegate. You have to not do your own social media. You know, you have to, you can create your content, but like all you do is record. Seriously.
And don't read the comments.
Delegate out. Where's your content? You'll be so much happier. You'll be so much happier. You have more time to spend with your loved ones and, you know, doing other things you want to travel, whatever that looks like, you know, or become an investor. Like that was one of my goals. And I was like, this is really cool. This is exciting. And it's just one of those things like create the content, but you know, what's the overall vision of where you're going with this, you know, content too, like really hone in on that and really have a specific niche too. So that's what I would basically say to everybody today. So yeah.
Thank you, Tamara. Nice to meet you here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it today. It was a lot of fun.
Have a good day.